Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
It's showtime, folks!
This is where the big boys play, huh?
Woo! And look at Goldberg! He's ready! Oh, hell yeah!
It's gonna be the biggest battleground in the history of our sport.
Starholic Classic Knives Throw Review! That's how we start. I like the fact that on Zoom, it's asked, are we playing music? Because we're so in tone.
So I see your beers are sealed. Have you been drinking through since last night?
Mate, I have not stopped. I stopped to do a little sleep. So we're recording this the day after we've done the Halloween Havoc 95 watch along, which you haven't seen yet, but you will have seen. Well, by the time we've recorded it, you've heard it now. Yeah. You might have seen it now.
Yeah.
Time is a construct of human perception.
Yeah.
The Christmas time.
The Yeti debuted, and that meant that we had to get very drunk to make it tolerable. So,
and we are here to discuss the aftermath of that on the Cultaholic Classic Nitro Review. But Sam Driver, WCW Kid, here he is. There's his face. He and I, we're not alone.
No, we're anymore. Not. Not this
because
week,
no. Aliens.
We've never been alone in that regard.
I haven't. We have ourselves a very special guest today because you've heard me banging on the podcast previously. We have a beautiful scheme for Patreon whereby if you enjoy what we do, you can get involved and be a part of a classic review. And we are joined by one of our wonderful patrons from Cultaholic, the gorgeous Lou Marker.
Hi, everyone. Hi. Hi, thanks for having me.
Mate, it's an honour and or a privilege to have you on, sir.
Yeah.
How are you, sir? Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you too. Yeah, I'm very good, thank you. It feels surreal. It feels like I'm kind of listening to the podcast, but then also you talk to me sometimes. Like, okay, I'm actually in the podcast as well. It's very
you
surreal.
Inside
but,
yeah.
You get to butt in. You get to slag us off. You get to do whatever you want.
Cool.
You're a member of the team now. There you go.
I'm sure I won't be slagging you off, but I may slag WCW off at times, but...
You might do a little bit.
That's essentially what happens. We slag them off a little, and then we like talk about like crisp packet giveaways in the mid-90s, and it just derails from there. Like, remember when Walkers used to do the little blue packet with like a fiver in it?
Oh, yeah.
And they'd be like, kids in your school would be like, I want 50 quid. It's like just rolling up a ready in a pack of ready sorted crisps.
That is very, very accurate. Yeah. So, Lou, what does the Christmas setup look like to you? Like, how ready are you for Christmas?
Oh, I'm very set up. Like, I think the angle you can see now is the only pack. There's my tree. There we go. In the background.
Oh, it's beautiful.
It's
lovely, isn't it?
Yeah, it's so much nicer.
Gorgeous Christmas.
It's been the same for about 5 or 6 years, but yeah, it's there. And then I've got a few lights around the flat.
Nice.
All prepared. Yeah, I used to, because it's my birthday on Sunday. I used to have a very strict rule of like no Christmas until my birthday. But as I've got older, you've got to stretch out longer, haven't you?
Yeah,
like you've got to enjoy it more.
It feels like I barely get to see my tree when it goes up now because you see it when you get in from work, right? And real quick as you're leaving the flat in a hurry in the morning because you slept in. So I try and get it up at November 25th now, but this year I was just so busy. I'm still. Right now, and you know, just got it up. So.
Well, I'm the tree. For me, I'm quite lucky because Alex gets mine up. my good lady. I made the mistake last year. We will talk about wrestling in a minute, I promise. I made the mistake last year of as a nice surprise for Alex. Just last year. Fucking awful. You can say fuck on this as well.
Oh, good. I was going to ask. I'll just take your leave. That's fine.
You can fucking swear. It's fine. I made the mistake because last year was so fucking awful. I thought, I've been a nice little treat for Alex, who's had a rough week. I'm going to put the tree up while she's at work. And then she comes out, surprise, Christmas trees.
You've done it wrong.
She waited about 4 days. before saying, I'm really sorry. It's really sweet what you've done. It's just things aren't in the right place. And it's really bugging me.
At least you didn't come home like, Tom, I've bought an all new tree, which was not in the living room. We'll just put yours in the downstairs bathroom.
Put it in the bin for the people who live near our area. So this year I did the right thing and let Alex put up the tree.
Yes.
While I was was very kind. I went to work and she came home and she put I assembled the bare bones of the tree, and then Alex just cracked on to do the decorations. I came home, the house was very festive. I was like, this is a better way around. I thought I was doing something nice. If anything, I did it wrong, because Alex says I love putting the tree up. And I hate putting the tree up.
I love putting the tree up.
Oh, yeah. If someone sold a tree, which you went boop.
They do. They do a pop-up one now. They started off as really rudimentary, you know, like pop-up tents, and they were all kind of shit nylon with some lights woven through them. But now they've got to a point where it's kind of, it's still that underneath, but with actual, you know, fake branches and everything coming out that are dense enough to cover the little pop-up tent. So you just put it into like a big flat disc, put it away for the year, and then...
I want that!
Tinsel the wall.
I need this, because hands down, the worst part of the artificial tree is just getting the branches sorted out. You know, you stick it in the loft and then it's there, and then you sit it out and let it settle, but then you remember it's an artificial tree. It's not going to sell. It's exactly how you left it. So you've got to do every branch separately. That's the worst part for me.
Yeah, but you get it there and then you're like, okay, I think that's good. And then you'd have a cup of tea and you look back at the tree and it's like, oh, it's really sparse. It's like, I need to just... And you end up spending hours just bending and twisting and turning everything just to try and film. Because with me especially, I mean, I live in a flat. I really want real trees. Mm. But I'm up three flights of stairs. Fuck Dragon Brothers up there.
Yeah.
So I was like, I just need a cheap and cheerful tree. Found a really good looking one on Amazon. And it was like, perfect. Yeah. And that was the first mistake. Because it arrived and it was like a stick that you could visibly see and just like...
That sounds like hassle. Yeah. I'll tell you what isn't hassle, sitting here with lovely people watching the rest.
That's right.
And what's nice is, Sam, is we are actually in the presence of somebody who knows a little bit of shit about WCW. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about Lewis, who actually kicked off a podcast during lockdown.
I did, yes.
And bless you, we've had some emails back and forth, and there's two that made me smile. One was, I had to explain to my boss why I needed random days off. He thought I was going for another job. And was relieved when I told him it was a podcast.
It was just last minute when I'm like, can I change that day off from Friday to Wednesday afternoon, please? Like, what are you doing? So that's what I do to my team as well. I'm like, anyone books a slight day off, I'm like, what are you doing? Where are you going?
Why are you in a suit?
Mr. Myers, congratulations on your new job. But Lewis also started a podcast during lockdown, and you said, oh, would you mind if we give it a little cheeky mention? I was like, mate, go for it.
Yeah, oh, thank you. That's my time to shine, I guess.
Crazy diamond.
So yeah, it's called Wrestling Around, and we started like, you know, when we thought lockdown would be a couple of weeks, and it was something to do because I do it with my mate too. I got to Hull City with, and we're like, we're going to miss the next couple of games. So Saturday at 3 o'clock, we'll just sit and talk about wrestling instead of watching the football, which is hands down more enjoyable now we've been back at the football. It's Wrestling Around. It's on all the usual podcast places. We've got a twitch.tv/wrestlingaround. Twitter, wrestlingaround. But we just kind of, we've got no real theme other than we just do classic pay-per-views from the era, or like from the month. So like, we've just done this Tuesday in Texas.
You've just done this Tuesday in Texas, haven't you?
Yeah. And then... Nice.
But you do a little bit of new stuff as well. I know the last one you did, you were talking about like the contract expiring in WWE. And so you dip in a little bit to what everyone else
has got going on. Yeah, so we used to have kind of like one long show, but then my mum told me it was too long. So we split into two shows, basically. Yeah, she's like, it's nice, but it's a bit long, a bit sweary. It's 3 hours this week, so we split it into two.
I decided a long time ago my mum wasn't the target audience for these, and it cut, and I immediately improved the quality of my act.
Yeah,
but so where can people find it? So it's everywhere you get podcasts from. I know it's on iTunes.
Yeah, iTunes, podcasts, Apple Podcasts. On Aircast. So I just on the last
on
one.
That. Wherever
you can find Cultaholic, you can find us. Basically, yeah, we've just followed in your footsteps. Yeah, so Spotify.
You on Google Podcasts?
I believe so.
Are you on Yahoo podcasts?
If that's a thing, we're on it.
Are you on Libsyn?
Deezer.
Can we get you on LimeWire?
Are you on Napster? are you on Wormdo?
I've never heard of Wormdo. That's the one maybe we're missing. Maybe that would kind of increase our listenership.
I have no idea what that is.
What's what?
Oh, no, I'm not doing it. I've just worked it out.
What do you mean?
You're not catching me
out
with what's a worm do.
He wriggles along the ground like that. Oh.
You sly bastard.
Great Red Dwarf gag. Oh. So recently I know that Lewis on Wrestling Around, watched Halloween Havoc.
Mm-hmm.
So you went through a similar joy to us.
Yes. Yeah, it's simultaneously my least favorite and also favorite wrestling pay-per-view of all time, I think. We were trying to do a tier list at the end of last year when we were kind of, we got like a year into the podcast. And we kind of put that in the bottom tier of shows. And then by the end of the show, we'd actually moved it to number one because it was like, sure, deserves a little bit.
It's just the standing humping, the underrated moments that do occur throughout, but mainly just the absolute disaster of that. I mean, Christ, the monster truck match, genius.
That's silly. My favorite part of the monster truck bit is where they're kind of right at the beginning where they're going at it, and then Hogan just stops and goes, "Winner above all the rules," and then just they explain the rules. That's like possibly one of my favorite moments of wrestling, to be honest. It was brilliant.
Rules. Here are the rules.
This mustacheless Hogan era is just fantastic. Yeah.
Like when he shoves him off the roof and he whips out, he's like, we need a doctor!
So let's go back to that fabled year. So this is the Monday after. So this is 24 hours removed from the near death at Cobo Hall, the night of 1,000 heel turns.
They got the hell out of Detroit quick after the murder, didn't they?
Pegged it out of Detroit. Even though he was alive, something died that night.
It was his twin brother we established.
Oh,
that.
Yes, we did. It was Keith White.
No, Keith White's the one that went off the roof. Paul's the one that
came in. Paul's all right. Yeah. I get it now. Jesus. I get it. We are 30th of October, 1995, at the US box office. Mortal Kombat is still number one. At the US box office, as that's the UK box office, US box offices get shorty.
Okay, yeah.
All right, so hanging on in there. Coolio Gangsta's Paradise, still number one. It's top of the pops. And in the US charts, Mariah Carey Fantasy enjoying its fifth week at number one.
Yeah, Gangsta's Paradise.
I mentioned this on the show, the corresponding Raw review with G. Atkins. In the gaming world this week, Destruction Derby came out for the PlayStation 1.
Oh, what a game. And what's the name? Is it like Psygnostics or whatever?
Psygnosis.
They were based in Newcastle, weren't they? Gateshead.
Ooh.
Because they're the people that made that terrible bloody motorbike game.
Where's Sumo Games is now?
I don't know. But I think they were over toward the Metro Center, if it is indeed them. Because obviously we have Ubisoft Reflections. And they gave the world Driver.
But
this was like another company.
There's a coffee shop I used to go to, and the lady who kept serving me left one day. And it was her last year. She said, "Oh, you're serving, you're coming in, it's my last day." I was like, "Oh, no, where are you going?" "I'm going to work for Ubisoft." And I was like, "This is really cool." And I remember saying, "We should stay in touch because I'm intrigued to work at Ubisoft." So I got number and email and stuff. And I thought, "Well, that's weird."
And that woman was Assassin's Creed. Look at her now. She's so famous.
She made the game from the ground up.
No, she just is. She's
Assassin's Creed. It's true.
Farty noise, by the way, was this.
Whatever.
Oh, no, it won't do it.
Oh, we won't do it again. It's funny, that. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad you're here, Lewis?
Yeah.
Ross wasn't this bad.
Yeah.
Also,
the attention span of a gnat.
Right, and I love this, yes. So I'm mentioning it again because I'm fascinated by this game. It is a stream for 2022, no doubt. This week, an MS-DOS point-and-click game came out called I Have No Mouth and I Must Scream.
Well, I'm going to get on that. Is it ScumVM? I'm going to have to go have a look for it.
Have either of you heard of this then?
No.
I've not heard of that.
Okay, let me tell you what it's all about, Alfie. It takes place in a dystopian world where a mastermind artificial intelligence named AM has destroyed all of humanity except for five people whom he has been keeping alive and torturing for the past 109 years by constructing metaphorical adventures based on each character's fatal flaws. The player interacts with the game by making decisions through ethical dilemmas that deal with issues such as insanity, paranoia, and genocide. Wow.
It sounds like, yeah.
It sounds like a mess, and I love it.
A complete mess, but there's like elements in that the idea of the kind of rogue AI controlling a group of people, like that's the Beneath the Steel Sky kind of deals with that in the point and click. But I love point and click. I might have to go have a look at that.
I thought you were going to say the aim was just to get a mouse. Like, I don't know how that would work. Like, you just had to find the mouse. Like,
pull one off.
Yeah. Tap S to scream. You've done it. Well done.
But really, there's a pen. There's actually a pen in the first level. And if you just draw a smiley, that's it. Game over.
I've been playing for 9 days. Also, fun celebrity world fact.
Okay.
4 days from this night, Kendall Jenner will be born.
I'm not quite sure who she is.
One of the Kardashians.
Yeah, but like,
not I'm a Kardashian because sure she's Bruce Jenner.
I know that they're famous.
Formerly Bruce Jenner.
For being famous.
Yeah, it's pretty much.
But
Kendall is
Kendall the one with the Pepsi advert who solved.
Oh, racism. She solved. Yeah, she solved all the society's ills. Yeah.
That was her or Kylie. Possibly Kendall Jenner. Yeah, that was it. Everybody was angry until they were
like, I wasn't Kylie.
But I know they're famous for being reality TV stars, but it's like, but how did they get to be reality TV? I don't understand it.
Because Bruce Jenner was a sports athlete.
Well, I know that.
And
her dad was O.J. Simpson's lawyer, wasn't it?
And her dad was O.J. Simpson's lawyer.
But then why are they famous?
Lawyer. He's the biggest case in the history.
It's just, it's like when you go and you click on MTV these days and it's like, I don't know who any of these people are. Like, I don't think I've ever heard a BTS song, but it's all I see when I go on Twitter.
Oh, you probably have. Yes.
But then, yeah, it could be one of those things where I've heard one, but I just didn't know it was them.
There's a Google Hub advert that keeps popping up on YouTube when I do the adverts.
Right.
You'd always let the adverts roll on YouTube. Thank you.
Yeah.
and it's BTS's song, Butter. It's very distinctive. It's a great radio.
Butter.
I'm doing it. Are you playing music?
I'm so sorry to anybody who's into BTS. They sound fascinating. I'm just too old for this.
The biggest bands on the but for radio friends amongst us, BTS is Butter.
Is it Zeppelin, you bastards? Stairway to Heaven.
BTS Butter makes a great radio bed for talking over.
Oh, is it nice and back? Chill? Yeah, that's good.
Well, it's just got a nice like energy to it. I use it on the regular. It's good. Mm. So BTS are a thing. So that's the real world. Bugger that. It's all about wrestling. Ratings are in for last week. Raw 2.2. Nitro 2.6.
We're
back in the lead. My loyalty wavers from week to week.
Yeah, you're a go-between.
I just
depending on the quality of the show, right? Yeah,
I'm WCW till I die.
In an old
company dies, whichever comes first.
And there's back in the day when I used to do, I'll give you a little insider. And I used to do stuff on Heart, so we'd have a thing where you could do a split link. We covered the northeast, so like Newcastle, Sunderland, and top of Durham, and then we cover the south, which is Teesside, Darlington, and the rest of County Durham, the borough of the borough. And you could do links specifically for those areas, which was great when like there was a big bit of travel news that Newcastle wouldn't be asked about, but was fucking shutting down
when
Teesside.
When you would do the link for Teesside, would you start by going,
hey, yeah.
Yeah, that was like all I heard whenever I was at uni.
You're out
milling around Middlesbrough and somebody needed to get somebody's attention. It was just, hey, yeah.
I mean,
everybody had the same sound. It was amazing.
It's pretty accurate, to be fair. But what I do on the odd occasion when it'd be like Newcastle versus Borough or Sunderland versus Borough, I'd do two links. And the top link would be Sunderland going to smash Borough in the local derby this weekend. In the south, Borough going to smash Sunderland.
No.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
complete cunt, mate.
You bastard. Getting their hopes up. They're like, oh, that Tom's a good lad, isn't
he? Good lad. He's a Borough fan.
He's a Borough fan. Good lad.
If anyone asks, I always ask,
one of them has a trip up the galleries one weekend, you get caught out.
Oh, I just got to be
careful. Didn't think that through, did
you? Better not wear my Borough top at the galleries. A bit of news from the wrestling world this week. So, Giant Gonzalez is not coming in. Now, Lou, you've just watched Halloween Havoc, so you've just watched the debut of... do you know the story behind Giant Gonzalez in Dubsy Dub? Are you familiar? Or would you like me to...
Not. I remember him in 90... I don't remember him because I was only one at the time, but I remember him in 91. he was around, wasn't he?
He was.
From this era.
So the fun story here is that Gonzalez was going to come in and do WCW. He was hired to be the Yeti. That was the plan. Which,
you know, the big muscle painted suit. You could see them maybe making it a bit more animalistic or something, but...
Yeah. So that was the plan. We were going to get the Yeti at Halloween Havoc, but they wanted to debut him the week before, Nitro. However, he had issues getting into America, did Gonzalez. So they went, all right, as long as you're here by next week, we've got somebody else, roughly the same height as you. His name is Ron Reese, and we'll put him in the Yeti outfit, and then you'll be here for the pay-per-view. That'll be fine. So that's what they did. On Wednesday, before Halloween Havoc, Giant Gonzalez is hospitalized. He's in the country, but he gets put in hospital for numerous physical problems with his legs and his back. And then, according to the Wrestling Observer, goes AWOL. No one can find him. And they're like, shit, Ron, do you want to come and be the Yeti again?
Do you think he saw the debut of Ron as the Yeti and went, I'm good? I'm good.
I never thought of it like that, but he very well might have done.
He just sat in hospital, whaps on Nitro. You what? Turns it off, goes dark, that's it.
But this runs a lot deeper than the issue with that pay-per-view, because they had big plans for Giant Gonzalez at World War III, which they announced at Halloween Havoc.
Yeah, but as you can imagine, you know, you're going to bring in somebody who's over that 7-foot mark or there or thereabouts. It's always something... Like, especially in this era, it's a spectacle, right? I mean, you know, back then it would be like, look how tall he is. And that was, you know, you kind of see it every now and then with people like Omos. Mm-hmm. But you never really expected anything but absolute amazing spots for them, because it was the 90s and you were just used to, oh, big guy, world title.
Yeah, that was
it. Not that they'd give him the world title, but, you know, he'd be a featured player.
But they were going to make him a featured player at World War III, which was WCW's big Royal Rumble beater. 90-man, three-ring battle royal.
Not just two rings, three rings.
And also, WWF at this point, true story, were shitting a brick about this. Because they were like, this is like bigger than the Rumble.
Well, we said it.
We're doomed.
We said it on the...
Until they saw it, I imagine.
They saw it. But you made a good point when you saw it.
Yeah, because like as a kid, it was like, oh my God, three rings. This is amazing. This is unreal. And when you're a kid, it's just like, I want you to win. Yeah. And, you know, you don't really analyze it. But from a sheer perspective of how much floor space is that taking up, the triangular setup is the best way, I guess, because it centralizes it rather than having a long row of three rings. But then it still takes up so much space, and then it's very confusing. It's never really quite clearly explained as World War III goes on, which we'll get to eventually. Mm-hmm. It all just kind of happens. And as a kid, I thought it was the best thing ever because it was like three whole rings. As an adult, it's like, what the fuck were you thinking? Imbeciles. Like, yeah, what's this?
Watched the 96 version. It's my biggest issue with it, and I have the issue with the War Game stuff as well. If you're sat ringside at one of the rings and the match is happening the other side of the arena, what are you paying for?
It's like even to this day with the NXT like War Games, and if you're sat front row and you're like, I really can't wait to see this match. And it's not the War Games match. You're just super excited for one of the undercard matches or whatever. And then it happens in the ring. You've paid all this money for, you know, front row seats, and it happens in the next ring over, and you can't really get a clear view.
Exactly.
But either way, they're persevering. But the plan was they wanted to do this gimmick where they had a giant in every ring. So the plan was going to be to have the giant in one of the rings and to have Giant Gonzalez in another ring as the Yeti. And then have somebody else in the third. Who did they say was going to be the third? But the issue with that is they're going to have three. So Giant Gonzalez is now not going to be part of that mix. Yeah. So they are considering their options for who could be the other giant in the match. There's two top considerations at the moment, and they are both fucking mind-blowing. Paul Bunyan, who is a giant from Canada, He was.
I thought you just meant the mythical figure, Paul. But
well, he wrestled. This is the Canadian Giant he's now known as, but he wrestled as Paul Bunyan. And Dave Meltzer says he's 7'1" with no charisma. So he's a consideration at this point because they are panicking. The other is Giant Haystacks.
Whoa! Amazing.
It's gonna happen.
Yes!
It's gonna happen.
Giant Haystacks!
He's in WCW like not long after this.
Yeah.
Loch Ness.
Loch Ness. Christ.
But at this point they are caught in Giant Haystacks.
I'm just amazed they didn't just think, shit, one of the Harris twins in a pair of lifts. By the time we get to late WCW, it's just, hey, Harris twins, fucking throw them in. Harris twins, just throw them in. We need to, Harris twins. Harris twins. Is that an SS? Don't worry about it, Harris twins.
So, Harris twins is a great idea.
Yeah.
But not as good as Giant
fucking
Haystacks, who is so beyond his prime at this point. It's not even funny, but was a name on the British scene, and WCW were keen to make more progress in the England, so I guess you have him.
I get it. And at the time, you know, the British indie scene wasn't what it is today, but it's stuff like this. It's weird because I don't think America understands that, you know, we're not all Big Daddy fans. And if you listen to people like Bruce Pritchard, he goes on about his stint with TNA. And it's like, oh, I was there in 2009 over in the UK, and they were all asking, is Big Daddy going to be on the card? Where they fuck, Bruce? Just honestly, like, who's there at a fucking TNA show with Kurt Angle and AJ Styles and Chris Daniels? You go in,
I know
Big Daddy here.
I guarantee everyone's parents asked afterwards. Did you have a good time? Was Big Daddy there?
Lou's hit the nail on the head. Yeah. That's who was asking Bruce. Hey, it's Big Daddy here.
When he said that on his podcast, I can't remember which episode it was, but he said it on the podcast. And I just paused it and I was like, we're not idiots. We're not. It's Big Daddy. He's not wrestling anymore. Come on.
Big Daddy. He was over like Rover.
Oh, yeah. For sure. I mean, he carried, as weird as it is to say, given the level of sportsmanship and the advancements in lightweight wrestling that the UK generated with World of Sport, he was just above all of it. And all he did was stand there shouting easy.
Belly pushes like, to shouting easy.
And it got over, man. And his singlet was made out of his couch. Literally. His wife cut the back off the couch, made his singlet.
Yeah. Oh, that's so lovely. I had no idea.
He pushed the couch up against the wall.
I wouldn't sit on his sofa. Just for multiple
when he needs the material, they take the old stuff back and stitch it back on. It's just a big sweaty couch.
We are in Dayton, Ohio for WCW Nitro. Bischoff, Heenan and Mongo are on commentary. Pepe is in a witch's hat and bat wings.
That's
right. Adorable. It's very Halloween-y themes.
And Mongo keeps just making his wings flap.
They are talking about the shock from last night's Halloween Havoc. And they say there's going to be some footage that you're going to see soon of the most shocking thing from the night. The big tease for this episode of Nitro is the footage from last night.
But as a kid who didn't get pay-per-views, this is how I caught up on stuff. These were really exciting, even though they were kind of nothing episodes. Because you'd be like, oh, what happened? And you'd see maybe 30 seconds of footage from the night before. But
here's the thing, right? They are talking about not the giant falling off the roof. They are talking about Randy Savage getting an injury.
Yes.
That's the big talking point at the start of a night where we saw multiple heel turns, a man thrown off the roof, and the Yeti fucking turning up. Well, we're going to talk about Savage hurting his arm.
Well, they've been kind of on a bit of a run, though, haven't they, over the last few episodes of Nitro, telling a bit of a story of Savage, maybe not quite being the Savage we're used to, the Savage that we used to know. Like, you know, he's been shown to be more vulnerable in recent weeks, so maybe it's just quickly get it out of the way ahead of time, get Savage's info out there because he's not really important to the episode. Mm. Mention it, crack on.
I guess as well because Savage was meant to be in our opening match as well. It's Sergeant Craig Pitbull Pittman not taking on Randy Savage. And apparently the match that he won on the pre-show for Halloween Havoc guaranteed him a match against Savage.
Yeah, so he worked, was it Disco?
No, it was IRS. It was Michael Wall Street. Yeah. Michael Wall Street. I keep calling him IRS, but he's not anymore. But tonight he's not facing Randy Savage, substituting in. I mean, this is great. This is like, I'm sorry. I haven't got £3. I've got a tenner, but keep the change. Eddie Guerrero.
Yeah. And the weird thing is, when you're watching back this match, they just constantly, this young star, this young rising star. And yeah. It's like, man, like, you can't even, to be there and see that, you're so lucky. But like, to look at Eddie there, he, as good as he is, and be like, man, one day he's going to be a really big deal. Like, he's going to be the biggest deal in the world. He's crazy.
Number one guy.
Yeah.
Pittman tries to Greco-Roman wrestle and overpower Guerrero, which he does to an extent. Commentators are saying that Guerrero is in bother here because he's a high flyer and not a wrestler.
The old left arm
and
issue.
And there's an injury to his left arm as well. Yeah. But he's resting, but Savage isn't. Coward Savage. Pittman outclasses initially until Guerrero hits a lovely waist lock takedown and gets proper into it. Then Pittman works over Guerrero's arm for a big part of this, as you say, the injury. He's getting primed for Code Red, which is his submission finisher, which he uses to wear the arm properly down. Bischoff spends most of this match hyping up the footage from Halloween Havoc. Any moment now, we're going to see the footage.
But we know the deal. We know the deal, right? You know, if Hogan is not on screen and Hogan has not been mentioned, then why?
Where's Hogan?
Yeah, where is it?
It is a thing with WCW, isn't it? Where it's whatever's happening in the ring.
Yeah.
They're talking about the main event. It's almost like the AEW Dark commentary, but just constantly, isn't it? Yeah. Just talking about anything other than.
I was so sure we were just going to cut away from this to just footage of the monster truck match because they were really pushing the urgency. It's like the second we have that footage, we're going to show it, and they're still just chain wrestling, and it's like, oh, don't cut Eddie Guerrero off. Don't cut Eddie Guerrero off for a bit of a shove around with some monster trucks, please.
They didn't, thankfully. And we carried on the match. Pittman has some lovely suplexes. Pittman looks all right here. We've given him a bit of grief for the last couple of weeks.
I mean, he's wrestling on TV. He can't be that, like, you know. He can't be... he can't be terrible. You know?
Yeah, it's
can't be that bad.
He's fine. He's at him and Eddie are having a lovely time.
It's just bland.
Guerrero gets a modified victory roll and a genuine shock 3 count
to win the thing. The roll's awesome because it's springboard, right? He springboards into it and then he kind of lands backwards against the torso of his opponent and then it's just a direct roll through. And it's just awesome.
It's nice. Anything
really,
can happen.
Really
WCW.
Yeah.
What do you
reckon? I love the reaction he got for the... It was just a springboard crossbody, and it's big these days. You see it every week, but that crowd went mental for it because
there's a guy jumps up and he's like, and it's like, it's a crossbody.
I just think we have like a full family in pink, just all jumping up at the same time on the top left hand. But it's like, I'd love to go back to that era where it's like you see that every week now, so it would just be a polite applause now that move. Oh, yes, that was what's next? Like, do a 6-30. But back then, it was just. And, I mean, we'll see it when Sabu comes across as well.
Oh,
the slightest thing that's slightly different. Everyone just goes mental for it. I love it. Like, yeah.
It feels like they keep talking about the cruiserweight division. And if I was a lapsed fan at this point, so I wasn't watching anything.
Yeah.
So all of this is all new to me, which is great. But like, I would be really excited by this. Like, this is a really cool, fresh new style of wrestling. I like it. Give me more, please, mother. Anyway, we need to move into something a little bit more of the time. We get the story behind Scott Norton and the shark, John Tenta. You think you're special? You do. It's a story that goes all the way back to September 11th and then wasn't mentioned again until last week. It wasn't mentioned in over a month, but this is a clearly deeply rooted story.
They cut to the locker room, don't they? Like during the main event, they're just having a scuffle. Like on last week's Nitro, they're just like, and it's like a pull apart with inexplicable people like Jimmy Hart. Just like,
what are you doing? Referencing, you cost me a match when over a month ago. I'm only now annoyed by it.
Had they been on telly since? Is one of them just like not been there? Like, maybe he was just sat there steaming for 7 weeks.
Oh wait, no, I don't even think that. Did Shark and Sting happen?
Shark and Sting.
Shark's been on. He's got over it.
Norton hasn't since we started.
No, Norton was on the first Nitro. Yeah, Norton was on this the second Nitro. Yeah, that was it. Because Nitro, because he got into a shoving match with Savage that led to a match with Savage. He then got into a shoving match with Shark. Maybe Norton only gets matches if he shoves people.
He's just, he likes his personal space, guys. Don't get too close to him.
That's the, so we get the story behind it. Again, just weird how it's like, back on September 11th, these two had a fallout, and now we've decided to mention it again. Two pay-per-views have passed, and now it's time to get deeply into the grudge. Eddie Guerrero, a bit of Eddie Guerrero news before we move on, by the way. Eddie Guerrero and Chris Benoit, according to Dave Meltzer of The Observer, virtual locks to stay in WCW after their 90-day current agreement expires. Guerrero has cancelled his tour of New Japan in December, which is giving the indication that he's going to stick around with WCW. Because it was kind of like a trial basis thing. Something similar to what WWE want to do
now.
Now. Yeah. Because they hire so many fucking people. And they're going to pay them for months on end.
Yeah, they get real bad buyer's remorse when they realise it's them that can't come up with anything good rather than the wrestlers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so the idea being that they kind of want to have almost like how in a normal job you would have like a, what's it called, the first 3 months of the job?
Probation.
Probation, yeah. Basically all the WWE guys in 2022 are going to be on probation when they come in.
Yeah.
As a probationary period, you'll have a meeting with the manager to see how well you're performing, basically. and that's kind of what they're doing here. Where were you, like, I know you've watched Halloween Havoc 95 recently for Wrestling Around, Lou, but yeah. Like, as a fan, were you watching in real time at this point?
No, so my WCW story is like, I started watching wrestling like on holiday somewhere where I think it was just WWF was on. I don't really know what it was. I remember Undertaker and Mankind being there. And it was like, oh, look, wrestling's on the telly. And it was Channel 5. And for the longest time, up until about a year ago, I could have sworn I was watching Nitro on the weekly on a Friday night. Turns out it was worldwide. So I have no real idea.
I was watching
Orient the Storylines. I can't remember when it started on Channel 5 at the time. Was it 99, 2000?
It's got to have been, yeah.
It was past its peak, I think.
Wow, and the boot with the chair shots and everything.
Yeah, so as a child, because we didn't have Sky, so I was kind of watching wrestling through Worldwide on a Friday and then Sunday Night Heat on whatever time it was on a Sunday. So I don't really know how I managed to keep up with it and how I'm still a fan, to be honest, because I've seen all these undercard matches and just random glimpses of storylines. Like,
if I just keep watching one day, it'll be good.
Yeah, it was that far behind. I thought Goldberg was like undefeated well into the year 2000, probably the recent year finish.
He's still going. I think a lot of wrestling fans were like yourself, Lou, who just all they had was Worldwide to keep them right.
Yeah.
And Worldwide, actually, near the end of its time, was one of the highest rated wrestling shows in the UK. Like,
nice.
The Monday Night Wars was still very competitive right up until the end in the UK. And you had like Sky Sports versus Channel 5. Like, it was still very competitive.
I do remember the kind of, because that's when I kind of lost interest the first time, which is because it just wasn't available anymore. It went off. Obviously, WCW ended, and then I think Channel 4 lost the rights sometime in the middle of the invasion angle.
Yeah.
So it took me a good 5 years to work out what happened there. When I finally got Sky, but. Yeah, so that was my background. I think I was just a WCW guy because it was first. I'm very tribal when it comes to that. Not that tribal like we see these days, but like
pretty much the same as me because it was the first one and it was the only one we had access to because we didn't have Sky, but we had a satellite box that got TNT.
Yeah.
So it was like we were just flicking through channels and it was all of a sudden on. And it was like, okay, well, we know that next week at this time it's going to be on again.
Yeah.
And just kind of watched it, a lot of it out of order, maybe miss a few weeks. But it didn't really matter because you're there to just enjoy the wrestling, right?
Exactly, yeah. It was just wrestling. And it was because the WCW was so far behind. It was like, especially when the Radicals moved across and Jericho moved across. Like, what is going on here? Like,
and then Haku.
What is this? Yeah. All the big
ones. That's what it was all over. It's all about enjoying the wrestling. So, Sam, Shark versus Scott Norton.
I love John Tenta with all my heart. I think John Tenta was awesome.
What's the appeal for John Tenta? Not that it's unfounded.
He's just a massive lad that smashes shit up. Fucking earthquake.
Just a beefy boy.
He's a human earthquake. What's your problem with John
Tenta? I ain't got a malfunction.
The man was born at 40 years old.
That's the big appeal for me, trying to work out how old he is. Like, how old is he at this? Like, 20, 21, 22?
Yeah, he's 22.
He probably wasn't that old.
He can't be that old at all. But
my favourite part is when he does the gun show where like he has the muscles, but he doesn't have any muscular build. But he'll do the whole, oh, I'm strong, boy.
If you want something. But he was a sumo wrestler.
I know, but I liked how he did that. It was funny when he had no muscle definition.
But one of the weirdest things I noticed in this episode, and I kind of went and had a look through a couple of other of the singlets. For some reason in this period, whoever did his gear, like his ring gear, they did, because he's the shark, and you know, he's got the shark teeth painted on, yep, and he's got the shark tattoo slapped over his old tiger, and he's kind of same old singlet, and it says like the shark on the back, it's kind of been bitten in half, and then you see a shark, like it's only small, but there's a shark like this big in the middle of his back. The shark's all angry, there's blood coming out of its mouth, but it has a set of perfect teeth. Not shark teeth, like just flat, natural, square, like dentures. I was just like, I kept pausing it, like, what? Like, the designer was like, yeah, no, that's cool. And it's just this row of like perfectly flat, straight human teeth.
Happy shark.
His face paint, I was intrigued by it. It's what I imagine if you ask someone like, oh, can I be Finn Balor for Halloween? And then someone else just does the face paint for you. And you look and think, okay, well, I'm going to have to go like this now. It's too late.
Finn Balor for Halloween.
I hate the shark gimmick. I wish we could have kept Avalanche.
Couldn't because WWF got involved and they were like, stop it.
We own the exclusive rights to natural disasters in wrestling.
I could have sworn I was expecting a natural disaster. Shaq was just an odd one, wasn't it? Like,
he
doesn't seem like a very sharky guy.
It's the face paint that does it for me, because it's like the guy, if you tread him right and weren't making him, you could make him into a much more threatening guy. Like, he has the aura of somebody like, you know, Killian Dane gives off a similar aura. Like, they're just that big, menacing guy. And that's what you could have done with Tenta, but instead they went, shark. You've seen those shark puppets from that TV show with the sharks and the motorbiking sharks or whatever.
Street sharks.
Yeah. Street sharks.
Yeah.
They basically just went, John, have we got the fucking gimmick for you?
John Eiley's ears just pricked up there. stand down, John. Stand down. Wrong job. I like how, Luke just gave John Tenta a complete summary going, he's not a very sharky guy.
I don't know, like, if you were just going to, you're going to pick an animal spirit for John Tenta, I wouldn't have gone with, just wouldn't have gone with Shaq.
What animal would you have gone with, Lou?
I don't know now. He's a very hairy man, isn't he? So you could go with like some sort of like silverback or bear or something like that. Like, maybe, like,
I just would have called him Tenta.
Tenta. He does do Tenta. That near the end. He just goes, I'm sick of being animals and gimmicks and shit.
I wouldn't have gone with John Tenta. I would have just gone with Tenta. I would have made him just badass.
No,
but that would have moved into tentacles, and then it would have been another. Obviously, someone just loved to see.
The second somebody said it, they'd be like, that's it. Get some big slimy arms on the go.
Yeah.
Tenta. But if you could make him like a barroom brawler, because that's what basically Scott Norton is hyped as, you know, he's an arm wrestling world champion. He's just that tough motherfucker. And there's kind of a disconnect when he's facing a comic book shark. That's just
the nicest
way. And I'm allowed to say it, fat guy, like
the vignettes to build up Tenta as a bar fighter. I like the idea of somebody walking into a bar and just like accidentally knocking over somebody's glass. It turns out to be Tenta's drink. Like, it's just like the Tenta eats the glass that's left.
Have you seen
the
interview with him, though? Have you seen how soft-spoken John Tenta is?
He's the
interview when he leaves Sumo in Japan and he's interviewed by his local hometown, like local Canadian TV station. And they're like, so why are you giving up Sumo? And he's just like, oh, well, you know, I'm just, you know, I'm looking to change up my career. And as a foreigner, it's really hard to, he's so soft spoken. He's so smiley and happy and cheery. And you're looking at him and he looks like he's 50 and he's genuinely about 22.
Yeah.
And it's like, man, like, how do you then go from that to just being like, ah, in a wrestling ring and like being Earthquake, right?
It's weird how they didn't kind of lean into the sumo thing. Maybe they could have given him a sumo gimmick, but I don't know if they could have done it in a sensitive way in the 90s.
So it's probably for the best that they didn't do. Like, they nearly did in 1994 in WWF, because his last match in the WWF, it was he versus Yokozuna in a sumo wrestling match that he won.
Yeah, he would have fucking destroyed him.
Yeah, he won.
Yokozuna wasn't a sumo wrestler.
And they're like, here we go, Yoko versus Earthquake for a feud. let's frigging go. And then Tenta left.
It's like the first lockup. Like, it's not even a lock. The first shove, Tenta would have just gone, whoop it. And no matter Yokozuna's weight, he would have just gone. Like,
it's true. It's true. It's brilliant.
Just see the size of the calves of some of the guys. Like, Sumo, I've been watching a lot more of it, but like, the big guys, sure, like really, really big guys, but like the legs are just like this.
Size like tugboats.
But it's just like you could punch that and break your hand. It's nuts.
Calfzilla in the house. Shark versus Scott Norton is our next match of the night.
We haven't even gone through it. I'm just sat gushing about
Shark. Oh my God. You perverts. Big beefy boys battle. This is my summary. Norton hits a lovely top rope shoulder block before slamming the shark for a two. We cut to Bobby Heenan. Bobby Heenan's doing something very interesting here.
Where's the weasel? Where's the weasel at?
Because he's disappeared between matches. And there he is in the crowd having a lovely candlelit bit of sushi with Sonny Ono.
Well, he's not having any of it.
Well, no, because there's a bit where where Sonny Ono is watching Heenan to make sure he enjoys it, and Heenan like picks him up, throws it over his shoulder and then goes, yummy.
Ono is distracted by somebody like tapping him. He's just like pretending to eat it.
So big shout here to Bobby Heenan, who is wearing a yellow tie over a denim shirt. It is a look that is so 90s. Like, it makes my teeth rattle. I love it. Anyway, back to the match. More on that later. They punch each other up the ramp, Dushark and Scott Norton, and it's a double count out. I've written in block capitals, beefy lads! Norton bounces Shark's head off the WCW sign. Shark returns the favour.
Did you hear that, sir? It sounded like a Tibetan gong.
team, thoughts on Shark versus Scott Norton?
Shy.
You know, all that build. Shite. 7 weeks of build from September 11th all the way till now. For what?
My way or the highway.
For a double count out.
Double count out. They battered.
Yeah, it's interesting how they put over the WCW sign on anything else on commentary by this point. Like, the WCW sign was the star of it. That was the big solid steel.
That was their steel steps, event, really.
Yeah, that was it. Yeah, that was the big thing.
It was their steel steps. We cut back.
Sabu. I mean, starts using them.
Just throwing them across the people. We cut back to Bobby Heenan. He is talking to Sonny Ono. And the thing here is that Bobby Heenan is trying to strike a deal with Sonny Ono to get New Japan Pro Wrestling representation in WCW. This is building to a thing, believe it or not. And Bobby Heenan is talking about all the shows that he can get his New Japan clients on, to which Bobby Heenan says, he mentions Nitro and then mentions Saturday night's main event.
And then quickly goes Sunday night's,
Sunday evening's Sunday main event. Oh, Bobby. There's a handshake and an envelope gets handed to Heenan, and he then puts it into his shirt and then continues to pretend to enjoy sushi. Oh, but bless Bobby. Was dropping Saturday night's main event in there, which is at this point a defunct WWF pay-per-view event, rather. I miss Saturday night's main event as a thing.
It came back, it didn't work.
It sucks that it didn't work, because I liked that the one that I remember they did when they brought it back, it was one show where they had Shane McMahon versus Shawn Michaels in the main.
Yeah.
The opening match, it was the WrestleMania main events fighting each other. So it was Kurt Angle, Randy Orton, and Rey Mysterio versus Triple H and John Cena. Can they coexist?
The problem with Saturday night's main event format is that it worked back in the day because the concept was, you know, it was going to be an SNL style slot. You want to preload with all the big shit. So get your main event on first and then peter out and do some more storyline stuff, but then go out with a bit of a bang with like an unexpected good match. Like at 2 a.m. or whatever. But we've been so kind of spoiled for wrestling in general, but then almost it's Pavlovian now where, you know, well, we start with the undercard and then you work your way through about 98 minutes of promos. And then it's just a slog all the way to the main event. If you want to watch that main event, you're just sat all night checking your watch. But then when you preload it for the modern audience, they go, oh, that was awesome. Turn off. There's not enough to keep you around. Yeah, it's like, here's a huge main event. Bye.
Yeah, because the card that Tom mentioned was quite good all the way through, because it had Stone Cold and JBL doing a beer drinking contest. Yeah. That was the middle of it, wasn't it? And then I think like two or three episodes later, the main event was like, I think it involved, I can't remember what it was, but it involved CM Punk, but also Doink the Clown Viscera.
Yeah.
Like Kane might have been about it as well. And that was the main event. Because obviously we don't get the context. We were probably watching it on Sky Sports like the next day or something. Yeah. So it's, yeah, I think it was like Edge versus Cena, Last Man Standing or something ridiculously good at the beginning. And then, yeah, it kind of goes down to a freak show. I want to say Greg Kelly was in there. I think it was just all the tall lads and CM Punk from ECW at the time.
How do you feel about like AEW doing sort of more of those Saturday Night's Main Event-esque specials in 2022?
I like it. You know, it's an event you don't have to pay for that still feels like a big deal. Mm. And yeah, it means less pay-per-view, which means pay-per-views are more important. And it can be grander, can have more of a spectacle to them and probably run bigger venues because, well, shit, the demand's there for tickets.
Yeah, there's a big demand for tickets on the whole for AEW more than anything else. So, Tony Schiavone is in the ring. And I think, team, I think this is his Nitro debut. Because he's not been on comms because we've had Bischoff, Mongo and Heenan on commentary.
Yeah.
I don't think we've seen Schiavone on WCW Nitro at this point until now.
I'm sure we've heard his voice through recap, but yeah, we've not seen him in ring, but this is his first big kind
it's his first thing
promo, right?
Schiavone's kind of promo.
Yeah.
We get photos of the Flair, Sting, Pillman, Anderson fun from Halloween Havoc, and what fun it was.
Sam. Oh yes, yeah. You know, you had Sting coming out, having to be the valiant babyface, taking on both Pillman and Anderson. And then, you know, Flair's been attacked. What's he going to do? He's going to try and fight them 2-on-1. This is not going to end well. Oh, my God, Flair is all bandaged up. He's limping down all the way in the ring. And Sting's crawling and he's getting caught off. And he's crawling and he's getting caught off. And he's crawling and finally he gets to Flair and he makes the hot tag. And then Flair just stamps on him. The crowd goes fucking wild. The crowd loves it. They eat and even here when they're talking about it in this promo, you know, you get all your usual Four Horsemen garbage, like just it's all in there, all the you know, your catchphrases and everything that needs to be said in there. But even then, when it's like, and then Flair came down and Arn's explaining it all, and even then the crowd's going, woo! And gentle cheers with a little bit of booing, just peppered in.
Mm, it's great. That spot is just beautiful to watch it live. So after the recap of it, oh, by the way, the photos are courtesy of WCW Magazine. So let me think about this for a second. WCW Magazine is able to get photos from the event quicker than Eric Bischoff, the executive producer, is able to get video from the event. Just wanted to put that out there.
I think that's what we call marketing your magazine.
It's well marketed, that is. Well, good marketing. I also am that person that calls out silly buggers.
I was thinking the same thing. Like, I know that Turner is a big organization, but there's got to be some... Did someone just leave the tips?
Stranger things happen. I think that's how Cornette got so many of his, like, tapes, was that somebody was just throwing them out one day. And he went,
yeah,
all right, keep back of my car. They're my property now. See you later. Master tapes.
Yeah, just when Bischoff's getting the car, like, shall I take that tape from me? Like, no, I'll just get someone to send it later. That seems much more efficient.
I'm sure it'll be fine.
Yeah.
This brings out Arn Anderson, Ric Flair, and Brian Pillman. They're throwing up the Four Horsemen hand gesture. They mock Sting getting a shoe in last night. Pillman is in his absolute pomp here, like reenacting
rolling
Sting.
Around the floor and reaching for the hot tag. Yeah.
Pillman references the signal of excellence, Dynasty, the greatest team on God's green earth. Anderson says everybody asks when he's putting this back together, and he gives us the classic.
Be careful what you wish for.
There it is. Yeah. As Anderson praises Sting, Flair and Pillman reenact Sting's hot tag from the pay-per-view, which is lovely. Anderson says, there's three, soon there will be four. And then a hyped up Ric Flair screams, whether you like it or don't like it, learn and love it. It's the best thing going today. Saying next Monday, the Horsemen are in town.
He doesn't just do that. When he gets given the mic, it's completely unintelligible. He just kind of goes, and then it's like, whether you like it or you don't.
I love how we all see Ric Flair as this crazy old man. But then you go back like 25 years and he was a crazy old man in his 40s. Like, I assume in his 30s and 20s as well. Like,
it's like what we
imagine him in school.
Within like 3 years, he's going to be fucking dropping an elbow on his own jacket in the middle of the ring and being sent to a mental asylum while, you know, his son is conspiring with Stacy Keibler to... Oh, Christ.
Interestingly, all this angle is going on whilst Brian Pillman's in a bit of legal bother.
Really?
Mm-hmm. So Brian Pillman's DUI case in Cincinnati got plea bargained this past week down for reckless driving. He was given a $25 fine and 1 year probation. He has to participate in a 3 day driving program and is expelled from driving until he does so.
I guess he's lucky that it was in Cincinnati.
Yeah.
Local football hero, right?
They went, oh, go on, Brian.
Go on, Brian.
Have a point on us.
No, you know, it's one of those things where you just hate to see it at any level, and especially around this time. I mean, what, Magnum TA happened fairly recently, or was about to happen. Like, there was so much, so many instances that you don't need to explain it. Don't fucking drink and drive, right? Don't take drugs and drive.
Mm-hmm. Bischoff says next week, WCW is live and interactive. And we as fans, you Lewis, you Sam, me Tom, we get to choose the matches. So how this, they didn't quite fully flesh out how this is going
to
work.
They don't need to, because then people will pick holes in the fact that it's all a sham.
Well, this is what they've told us, which sounds like it might be a sham.
It's like Cyber Sunday. It's everybody spamming one thing and they're like, oh, it's the, oh, everybody wanted this 90% of the vote.
It's actually a fair point to go, like, a lot of times we can't be trusted with nice things. A great example is today at the office, where with our Christmas party looming. Well, by the time you hear
this, has that not happened yet? Is it
no, by the time this goes out, it's happened.
Yeah,
we've probably all been fired. But by the time this goes out, it will have happened. But this morning, Adam said, "Oh, I'm putting together a Spotify playlist for the party. You can add to it from wherever you are." And
it very quickly became wrestling themes.
It's just Travis. Oh, okay.
And just non-wrestling songs. My takeaway Christmas jingle song.
I added the full audiobook of Macbeth.
Yeah. And then Adam promptly closed the playlist and went, we'll just use the pre-made one.
I started adding songs that ragged on Mitch Wadden. In quick succession, I added I Hate You, then a song called Mitch, and then a song called Wadden Wing or something. So I think it was around this point. And after, I think somebody added like an interview with Margaret Thatcher.
Yeah.
And it was at that point where we went, yeah, we're just going to have a pre-selected one. We're not allowed nice things in this office.
I'm more confused. Then. These are available on Spotify.
How dare you?
I'm sorry.
They're doing this interactive show. This is all I know so far. There's going to be wrestlers in two distinct locker rooms, a red one and a blue one. And I guess you'll decide who you want to see against who from each locker room.
And he's like, this person's on this side.
Yeah, so I've got the full list here. So I've got the full list for the interactive Nitro next week. So in the red locker room, we've got Bubba Rogers, Scott Norton, Ric Flair, the Blue Bloods, Shark, Meng, and Dudupi. That's the red locker room. In the blue locker room, it's Randy Savage, Sting, Jim Duggan, Johnny B. Badd, and the Nasty Boys. So presumably, you match them up. But then there's one locker room that's got more people in than another.
How do you vote?
It's got Bubba Rogers and Sharp.
Yeah.
You don't even need to mention Meng or DDP. It's got Bubba Rogers and
You Sharp. Can't put them in the same locker room. See what happened last time? Bad each other. Bad planning.
Yeah, but how do we... Lose pride, like, how do we
vote? Like, yeah, there was no internet back in that day, was it?
He didn't really go into the detail. I'm going to assume that for every match, you need to pick somebody out of the red locker room.
It's like 50-50, everybody across red,
yeah. Green peppers or red tomatoes.
Yeah, that'd be great. Yeah, just hold up the cards.
I presume you just pick one wrestler out of the red locker room and one wrestler out of the blue locker room.
Yeah,
each time.
But how do we pick them?
Is it by mail order?
No, I don't know. What do I look like, Eric Bischoff?
God damn, Eric.
Eric Bischoff.
I hope it's Eric delivering the results. Isn't the same guy delivering his bloody footage there? Yeah, they have brought him, but we'll find out next week, actually.
We're all fucking week. Thanks, Dennis!
It's just next week, everyone's just awkwardly sat there just waiting for the results to come. Like, we will start at some point.
Oh, Monday Nitro Fever. It's Disco Inferno o'clock.
Oh, it's old Glenn.
It's our mate Glenn. Fucking Glenn.
I've got real life heat with Disco Inferno.
He's got same. Heat with everybody.
Yeah.
Where's your real life heat
dropped some hard.
So it was from mine was from the WrestleZone forums circa 2007 to 2008 or something. Like, I don't want to brag. I was a pretty big deal on the WrestleZone forums back then. I went my way up to administrator. And they got this they did this weird thing where they were bought by I think it was like I can't remember what the company was, but they were bringing in like ex wrestlers to just kind of do like interviews, but on the message boards, but
right,
it was all people who just hated wrestling fans. So it was Conan, Disco Inferno, former announcer Scott Hudson. I can't remember the other fella. Oh, Eugene was the saddest one because Eugene popped up and everyone was like, "Oh, I'm so sorry you were living with such a shit gimmick." And then he was like, "Yeah, it was my idea, guys," and he left. but yeah, Disco Inferno just shot everyone. He was like, "I hate you, Max. I hate wrestling."
It's good because wrestling hates
ask,
him too.
Ask questions. Yeah.
The feeling abandoned. Is very mutual.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
But hey, as we've said on numerous episodes of this now, you can't deny.
Oh, you wanted to see him get the shit kicked out of him. I still do.
And that's great the real life feel.
Yeah.
That's the crack.
I want Tom to beat up Disco Inferno.
I'd love a go. Soon.
That's what I'd like.
Soon. I'd love a go.
Yeah.
I'd rather get Keith Lee to do it because it was.
No, it needs to be you. I want to see you just boxing Disco Inferno's face in.
I could do a stunner.
While screaming Disco Fever at him.
I did a stunner that time.
At least he was like full Disco Inferno guy at this point. Mm. It's like by the end, he was still Disco Inferno, but he was part of the NWO.
It's got to be the proof that you've jumped the shark completely when Disco Inferno becomes part of your stable, and it's not a disco themed stable.
Yeah,
I think that's.
Do you go back to his real name? Like, does Glenn sound like a cool NWO?
Ain't that Hulk right, Hogan, Glenn?
Randy Savage, Glenn. Like, I don't know. He's stuck between a rock and a hard place.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast. Alongside my good friend, John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
World Championship Wrestling wages World War III. Three rings. Three giants. One battle royal. It's WCW's World War III. Sunday, November 26th, live and only on pay-per-view. Call your local cable operator for availability.
I got giddy with excitement because it was Disco Inferno versus Sabu. I thought, great, Sabu's going to kill it.
Yeah, Sabu's going to murder it.
That didn't happen. He dances around Sabu for a bit, does Disco, and then Sabu just clobbers him. It's a leg lariat, a springboard dropkick. Disco gets a little bit of offense in, does a dance, gets wiped out. Springboard leg drop, Sabu wins. And then the finish happened. All right, so... So what happens next is
you get somebody in the crowd who's been holding up a sign that says Sabu, WCW's Evil Knievel. And Bischoff, I believe, goes, that's right, he is the Evil Knievel. As the sign says, the guy's crazy. You never know what he's got. Tables and chairs. And down comes Sabu, who's ran off up the ramp, and he just launches a table off of Disco Inferno's face. And at that point, I was like, Terry, well done. Very well done, Sabu. Very, very well done. They have a little bit of a fight.
There's a bit before that where Sabu went to do a springboard Hurricane Rana.
Oh, no, we don't talk about that.
I think we should talk about the springboard Hurricane Rana. So he does this, and Lou, I think you might have seen this as well. He does this, so he does a dive over the top rope, presumably to hit Hurricane Rana, but it looks like Disco Inferno turns it into a powerbomb.
Yeah.
But Disco acts like he was hurt.
Yeah, but no, the way that I felt when I was watching it back was that he kind of went over, but instead of Disco being in position, Sabu comes down both legs on one side of the shoulder, so Disco kind of falls forward, then Sabu lands on his back. So it looks kind of like an incidental powerbomb, but then from that point, Sabu runs off up the ramp, grabs the table, launches it off his face, lays him out on it, and then Disco, of course, moves because he's a wily little bastard. And Sabu just goes,
hey, what does it break? The thing about this is that little kid in the front row just laughing the entire time. Like,
the entire audience were on Sabu's side as well. They were like really starting to turn and really enjoy it. Like, Sabu, sir. And then, he hits the table, doesn't break, and it's just...
Like Nelson Montek's kid just at the front, just screaming, laughing. But I loved as well. It's like, because I think Bischoff has said in his podcast that he didn't really get Sabu.
Yeah,
and there's a bit where he goes like, "Oh, you meant to say gravity defying." He just goes gravity defying. Like, oh, sorry. It's like, tell us how you really feel. And then Sabu's gone.
What a strange. I guess it's the whole idea that they're saving Disco getting a real shellacking for down the road.
Yeah, somebody they're going to bring in. You know, Sabu's in the company, but as we know, he's not going to be with the company for very long. Disco is the type of person you need a Goldberg for, where, you know, you're going to get somebody over for just pasting him.
Absolutely. So, we look forward to it. We come to our main event of the evening, bizarrely. Lex Luger and Meng versus...
American males.
Lou, you're not singing!
American males.
All right, stop!
And no, Buffy boy gets in the old ring, turns to the camera and goes, American males.
Just in case you don't know who they are.
Because it wasn't clear. Like,
he's just like...
Thing appears across the bottom, American males. Luger and Meng come out together with Jimmy Hart and the Taskmaster. Lex Luger, now full fat heel and part of the Dungeon of Doom. Do we think this is an attempt to make Dungeon of Doom a little bit more serious? Maybe. Because it's all been very Luger mystical and magical.
Yeah, but I don't know if it's more of a they can corrupt the incorruptible type thing, because Luger was obviously, you know, before he was with WCW, he was big Mr. American hero. That kind of carries over. I don't know if it's that kind of thing or whether it's maybe, you know, showing the dark side to Luger and Luger's just siding with them simply because, you know what, fuck this, it's my time.
Mm-hmm.
And he's using them as a vehicle to push himself a bit further before he ditches them too.
Yeah. 20 minutes. It does give him a little bit more credibility, though, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. He's been like, so bland.
Kevin Sullivan, bless him, just looks like a mini Hulk Hogan. He looks like Randy Hogan. something like that. why is he wearing the same colours? Is that part of the story, or is that...
I think it's part of the story that, like, Taskmaster's almost like a bit of Hogan that's
Bizarro
evil.
Hogan.
Yeah. Like,
it's why he's
like a lymph node that's fallen off Hogan.
And Taskmaster is wearing the colours. So it could be symbolic. I mean, Sullivan does think very deeply about that sort of thing, but we'll probably never, ever admit to it.
Because now Hogan's in the black and white. Like, maybe he's absorbed the colour from Hogan.
Yeah.
Like Space Jam.
Space Jam, yeah. Stolen his powers.
Yeah.
20 minutes from now, on the other channel, WWF are about to retcon a major part of Lex Luger's WWF history. 20 minutes from now on Raw. Because on Raw, in the main event, we have Yokozuna run out to attack Razor Ramon. Mm-hmm. 1-2-3 Kid endeavors to make the save and gets flattened. And then we have the Raw debut of Ahmed Johnson. Barrels to the ring. Stands behind Yokozuna. Yoko turns round, and in one quick move, he slams Yokozuna in the center of the ring. And Ahmed Johnson looks like a fucking star on the other channel right now. Fucking star. And I don't think that was accidental. I think that having Ahmed Johnson be the guy that now slammed Yokozuna, it kind of pushes Luger's history.
I get it, but ultimately, who are you doing that for? Because
Vince is doing it for himself, obviously.
Yeah, but like, Luger doesn't give a shit.
No, he doesn't.
Luger couldn't care less.
But this is such a Vince thing to do.
Oh, yeah.
To go, he did it better than you.
He held him for a whole extra half second before he dropped
him. Better than you.
I imagine Yokozuna was a heavier boy at this point, right? Because he was just growing. Yeah.
So Ahmed is about to slam Yoko in about 20 minutes time whilst this heel turn Luger gets his first run out. And here's the thing, right? Luger turning heel should have been a much bigger deal than it was, but it was lost in the weird fucking main event. And then Lou, you watch this on.
He's going to flip flop 5-6 more times before it's all said and done anyway. Yeah. So they get another shot at it.
But do you not think when you covered it on Wrestling Around, Lou, like it's the whole thing that you have the Yeti coming out, and as the Yeti's walking out to the ring, the heel turns happen and the cameras have missed it.
Well, yeah, it's because, it shows at the end of the show, doesn't it? But it was like you have Jimmy Hart turning on Hogan, which should be a big deal in itself.
Yeah.
And then the Yeti's coming out, and then like the commentator's like, oh, by the way, also Luger just turned heel, if you saw that. Yeah. But yeah, Luger's a heel now as well, yeah.
So Luger's new life now is teaming with Meng and getting beaten up by Scotty Riggs and Buff Bagwell.
I don't know why they didn't leave it with Hart nails the referee, Hart helps the referee up, Luger comes sprinting down with Savage, Luger should have attacked Savage.
He did, but that was all there was so much other stuff.
Oh,
no, because Savage gets in the ring. Savage gets in the ring and you have Jimmy Hart then lay him out. You should have had Luger wait till they get in the ring and then lay him out.
Yeah, I think the less people Jimmy Hart lays out, the better, probably, just for the credibility purposes. Because some of those shots are so weak, by the way. Like, and Hogan's like, I can't sell this, possibly. So he just carries on regardless, and then someone else has to turn it.
I liked, it reminded me a little bit, they did it so much better in NXT fairly recently, when it was Tony Storm turning heel. And I think it was Tony Storm and Shotzi Blackheart, and they were about to get into the ring to attack a few of the baddies. And they go, come on, Tony's like, come on, let's go. And then Shotzi rolls into the ring. Tony doesn't. And Tony pulls her back out.
Yeah.
That was great.
Yeah.
Beautifully done. If Luger had done that, that would have been very cool. But that was many years.
You're expecting far too much.
I'm expecting this to make sense rather than, now your number one heel, to arguably in your top five heels, taking a battering from Scotty Riggs and Buff Bagwell in the main event. Riggs gets worked over in a slow main until Riggs dodges his senton. Bagwell hot tag, run wild on Luger and Meng. Jimmy distracts the ref so Meng can hit a savat kick on Bagwell. Luger can then apply the torture rack. Luger wins. But it took a bit of getting there to beat American males, American males, American males.
At least we're getting the torture rack over, though. Because as shit as it is, I do enjoy the torture rack. And I think it works obviously much better with him as a heel because he just doesn't let go of it.
Mm.
Eventually, it's just hold it, hold it, hold it. But other than that, it is a pretty shit move and it just stood there like...
But the crowd really... Because, again, I just love the crowds in this era because they're just so into it, aren't they? Compared to like what we are these days. They're so easily impressed. They're like, oh, no!
They even pop hard for the cheap pop. It's like, hello, Chicago!
Back at commentary after the break, Mongo blasts Cena with some silly string because even though our man nearly died last night, we're having a good time tonight.
You haven't explained how this happened. Pepe went trick-or-treating. Eric Bischoff, thankfully, thanks to our kind sponsors over at Snickers here at WCW, has a treat to give Pepe, the Chihuahua.
Gives him Snickers.
Yeah, gives him Snickers. But
can't eat it.
That's a heel turn.
That's a heel turn. Bischoff's a heel long before.
He's not a dog. He's a bat or a witch or something. And then Heenan's just like, and so he gets silly string because, you know, you're not going to treat, then you're getting tricked.
Oh.
And then Heenan's just, I love how he gets just sprayed with it. Everybody's been sprayed with silly string, but he's just like, just pulling it off his face. And
Heenan's too good for this.
Yeah, I love how Mongo's carry on as well. And Bischoff just goes, Steve. just stops immediately. Come on now, Steve.
We get the sickening footage from last night's Halloween Havoc. Hogan hitting the leg drop on Giant and the Dungeon of Doom invading the ring after Jimmy Hart's heel turn. We then get what Dave Meltzer calls the kinky sandwich from Giant and the Yeti. And I think that's Dave at his comedy finest,
yes,
in The Observer.
Of course.
Dave also says it was meant to be an abominable snowman. They got half of that right.
One thing I noticed actually that I didn't when we were watching it back was that you've got the Giant lying on the floor, obviously, after the leg drop while the turn is happening. And as Hogan is, you know, back turned to it, he's just like,
pops dead at
like me. Just having a quick look around. And then the second he sees Hogan move, he's like, play dead again.
quite a nice little comedy time. Just making sure it's all safe. We get Luger and Savage running out, as we've talked about, the heel turn that's completely lost in all of this bollocks. Luger at least gets the final blow by putting Hogan in the torture rack. So there is at least that. And then back in the arena, we have the Giant standing tall as WCW World Heavyweight Champion. Now, they've done such a miserable job of explaining this, but we kind of get the solution here. So Jimmy Hart did all the paperwork for the title match. And in the paperwork, he put the title can change hands on a disqualification.
Right.
So by Jimmy Hart getting involved in the match, by pulling the referee out, because he was Hogan's second, that counts as Hogan getting disqualified, and therefore the title goes to the Giant.
The problem therein is that
it's complicated as fuck, you're right.
Like the referee's being pulled out, the referee's out cold. The second the referee gets touched, he's out. Like they don't see anything. And then you've got another referee comes down, but there's never any consequence for the initial act of hitting the referee. That's what wrestling is. There's never, ever any consequence for whatever you do to that first referee before the second one comes out. It's not like you've got Mike Chioda barreling down out of the ring going, I can't believe you did that to Charles. Get out of here. Like, it's just like, all right, here we go. Let's crack on.
They just don't watch backstage. It's just like, someone's like, it's a referee out, mate, by the way. I'll go down.
But we just care.
No idea what's happened.
Puts down his little napkin, sits away from the banquet table.
Taskmaster tells us there was evil in Hogan's house. And all the while, we thought that it was Hogan that was evil. It wasn't. It was Jimmy Hart. Hogan is pure, but he was painted black. Because he thought he was dark, and he wasn't. He's so good.
The rare white Bengal tiger.
He's the rare white Bengal tiger.
I love how they said it was like House, though, because I'm just imagining like Jimmy Howe was like rooming with Hogan at the time. So
just living in the garage.
The way it's like, yeah, I was there all along. What?
Every time they open the garage, there's like a red glow coming out of it. Don't worry about that, Daddy. I'm just cooking some chips.
King Curtis just having a gentle conversation.
I'm having a gentle conversation. How's the weather today?
Under the door, you've just got all the fog coming through. The not hot water.
Have you decreased in mass? That's a Simpsons reference. You're welcome to it. The final, we hear from Luger. Thank fuck, the man that turned heel finally fucking talks. The first thing that Luger did as a heel was sell for Scotty Riggs. Nothing wrong with Scotty Riggs. Love you, Scotty Riggs. But my point stands. Luger delighted to see Hogan and Savage in crumpled, pathetic heaps last night. Giant speaks then, saying nobody is knocking the Giant off the hill, and he'll defend the title next week against anybody. Scotty Riggs.
Well, he does the opening line is a rhyme. And I was like, oh, is he going to rhyme it out like he's from Jack and the Beat? Nope, it's just the opening line was a rhyme.
Just happened to rhyme that time. The final word from this promo is from the Taskmaster. He says, "The cloud of the Dungeon of Doom came over you, pervert. There's no friends, only foe. This is a fighting champion," gestures to Giant. "Next week on Nitro, he will defend his belt." And this is happening whilst Jimmy Hart is running in circles around the Dungeon of Doom, like a very excited child on a plane.
This where Sullivan is on one knee and then Sullivan has to get back up. Oh, no, because Sullivan pretends he does the Hogan selling, right?
Yeah.
He's like flopping around and he's got to get himself back up, but he kind of almost falls forward and he can either grab the Giant's dick or just move his hand in time to use the belt as if it's like literally a wall, and he just kind of pushes himself up off the big gold.
Grab the dick. Grab the dick. What did you think, Lewis, of the words of the newly minted Dungeon of Doom and their world champion?
Oh, it's just a mess, isn't it? but in my mind, I was like, this storyline doesn't have legs. And I remember it goes on till, I mean, good luck, guys, but it goes on till like March, like the following year. So you've got plenty of time before this storyline actually pays off. But yeah, it's just so convoluted, isn't it? It was like, we'll just turn anyone heel against Hulk Hogan now at this point. So I don't know. Savage also comes across like a bit of a Hulk's mate at this point, doesn't he? Like,
yeah,
I find that the character of Hulk Hogan in that year 5 was like, again, like this Halloween Havoc pay-per-view, is both one of my favorite and worst things about wrestling, because he's just so ridiculous as a human being. The character of Hulk, I mean, obviously Hulk Hogan as well, but the character of Hulk Hogan is just so ridiculous that you almost want to side with him, don't you, with this style? And they've done unspeakable things to him, and he shaved his mustache off.
No, that's it really.
That's that's the feud. Yeah.
But it's weird, like, it feels like he's sold a lot, but without selling a lot. Like,
the commentators are telling you how much he's hurting and how selfless he's being and how much pain he's in. Hope to do that.
Yeah, and he had, like, three people turn him.
Weak if he does that.
He had three people turn him at Halloween Havoc, so why not just lay down for the ones who are free? You've been attacked by about three or four people. So the entire segment, I was almost like, Giant's just going to choke on him. And then just does the bear hug, and then obviously the Yeti comes out. But it's like, if you're not going to sell at that point and sell that, then when are you going to do it, basically?
If you're not selling for that, then what's it going to take?
The entire roster is turning you.
Meltzer in The Observer says there were a lot of complaints locally about this episode of Nitro.
Oh, I bet there were.
Because out of the seven matches that were publicly announced, five didn't take place. Sabu was meant to wrestle Eddie Guerrero with the Sheik in his corner. Guerrero was moved to the match with Pittman, and Sabu, without the Sheik, replaced Johnny B. Badd facing Disco Inferno. Harlem Heat were meant to defend their titles against Ric Flair and Sting in the main event. Wow. That didn't happen because it was a worked announcement because of the heel turn. Heat instead defended their titles in a dark match against the American Males, who already worked tonight. Flair was injured. He didn't work. He did the promo instead. Brian Pillman and Alex Wright was meant to happen, but Alex Wright is injured, and Pillman only did the interview. That's all he did the night. Nothing posted or announced about these changes in the card, nor were refunds given to those unhappy. Obviously, you know, card always subject to change, but a lot of people thought WCW were taking the piss with this.
This is something that will go on to plague WCW for the remainder of its days. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't so much become a habit at this level. It tends to be more international tours will just be not what you're promised. There'll be an entire poster of people with zero of them appearing. Obviously, logistically, they're a lot harder to manage, but house shows, it kind of starts coming in dribs and drabs, and then it starts to become politically motivated, and then all of a sudden, shit's just changing on the fly, and, you know, people are buying tickets, getting no refunds, and maybe seeing, you know, a couple of things they're slightly interested in, and it's no way to run things, but with everything and how it ends up, it's no surprise it ends up the way it does.
Yeah, they've paid for a highlight show, basically, haven't they, on this the show. I don't know if they can see any arena, because this was the same era where Mankind and Undertaker had that backlot brawl, I think, or the boiler room brawl.
Yeah.
It was just a little TVs from school, wasn't it?
They put down a ring thing.
There's no Titantron to watch anything. Yeah, it's just...
Oh,
they did it here, like, just before that. That recap, like Bischoff just rolling out like a little TV, like, come on, guys, watch.
Oh,
watch this.
It's a really long extension cable.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah, that'll do your homework. So that concludes Nitro for this week and the final Classic Nitro review of 2021. Yeah. We're going to be taking the rest of the year off for Christmas and all that jazz. We'll be back in the brand spanking new year to continue. But I would love to thank Lewis Markham for being a part of the show today. Lewis, it's been flipping ace to have you, mate.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for having me up. I didn't ruin it.
Oh, mate, you ruined
anyone's listening experience.
Thank you very much. Bloody brilliant. Plug the podcast. Plug all your things.
Yes. So it's just the Wrestling Around podcast. Search for Wrestling Around podcast and you'll find it. And then we have a Twitch channel, twitch.tv/wrestlingaround. We do the Wrestling Around Wrestling Federation every Wednesday at 7:30. What's the main event now? Oh, Big Metal Gorilla is facing Business Horse at Wrestle Around Kingdom in January.
Business Horse.
Business horse.
Yeah.
Please tell me it's a horse in a suit.
That's literally what it is.
Yes!
I'm Team Business Horse.
A Big Metal Gorilla is a Big Metal Gorilla.
Another horse in a suit.
Yeah, twitch.tv/wrestlearound.
They're all horses in suits.
Yeah. Yeah, John is there. Listen to the podcast. It's okay.
Look, on behalf of business horses everywhere, once again, I want to thank you for supporting what we do. Like, we're here because, you know, of lovely folk like yourself who want to commit to the bit, and you have done so. Thank you so much. If you'd like to do what Lewis has done today, you can do so by finding out more at patreon.com/cultaholic. And until we are next together, do you have a handle on Twitter, Lou?
It's just at Lou Markham. It's very straight to the point. Yeah.
So when I do the finish, I can go, until we are next together. He is at Lou Markham on Twitter. He is at Les Defined on Twitter. I am at Tom Campbell on Twitter. We are at Cultaholic on Twitter. Don't forget to join us. We're out of time.
That's all the time we got
from Sullivan, my son. I've done the dishes.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
For all the wrestling headlines in just 10 minutes, search Cultaholic Wrestling News on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.